The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Dear Media IRL is back, and we're showing up bigger, better, and louder than ever. Join us on May 4th in Austin, Texas for the ultimate live podcasting experience. Watch and learn from your favorite Dear Media hosts as they bring their insightful discussions from your headphones to the stage. Get ready to be inspired, entertained, and watch audio get a makeover. Tickets are on sale now at dearmedia.com/IRL. See you on May 4th in Austin. Austin, Texas.
Welcome to Real Pod. It's your host, Victoria Garrick Brown, and this is the podcast where we hold nothing back.
Oh, so we're getting deep, huh?
I really cried for 12 days straight.
Why do I want to be perfect? There's nothing in my life that is perfect.
Every week, I'll bring you honest, unfiltered, and eye-opening conversations to help uncover the real in all of us.
I crave the type of content that you're talking about.
I actually felt insecure.
Oh my God, am I going to cry?
Let me just unload everything.
New episodes every Wednesday. Leave those filters at the door because it's time to get real. Hello, everybody. I hope you had an amazing weekend. I hope everyone had a lovely Easter. Happy Easter. I am Greek Orthodox, so I celebrate Greek Easter, which is on May 5th this year, aka Cinco de Mayo. No one tell Yaya. She's going to be very not happy to share the holiday, but it's okay. I don't think she'll know. I will be celebrating both. I will have a margarita and we will be cracking red eggs. If you know, you know. I'm really excited about today's episode because one of my friends and an amazing confident curve model who radiates self-love, optimism, and inspiration is here today. Please help me welcome Alexa J. You may have seen her TikToks because she's hilarious, wholesome, and like I said, so inspiring. Today, we're going to hear more about her journey. We touch on so many things from body image, mental health, to even grief, which is something Alexa has been going through recently. And I'm so grateful she opened up because it's typically a topic that a lot of us shy away from. Alexa shares how she rebuilt her confidence and self-worth after a toxic and abusive relationship in college. I feel like we've all kind of been with a toxic ex, so I'm glad we're diving in, and so much more. I know you're going to love this episode, so please help me welcome the one and only Alexa J.
I'm so excited. This has literally like made my week. It's been my thing to look forward to. Yay. So thank you so much for having
me. Of course. I have just loved you. Ever since Ella introduced me to you, you guys are really good friends. And then we've gotten to hang out a few times at different events. I feel like we just really vibe and like are on the same wavelength.
100%.
You're like one of those people who I don't really know that well, but mm-hmm. I feel like very comfortable around you.
I feel super cool. I feel like, first of all, you've seen me at my lowest. Like, you've literally seen me crying at events. So I already trust you with everything.
Wait, not that moment from the event. I was thinking about that today. Do you care to talk about that?
Yeah.
I've had that happen to other friends. Mm-hmm. It's not out of this world for someone to receive a message they weren't supposed to receive. That's like mean.
Mm-hmm. It was ridiculous. You would think that like if someone's going to talk shit that they would be a little bit smarter about it, just a little bit. And for me, it was just shocking because I thought this girl wanted to be my friend. Like, I really thought I made a new friend like the week before. So like the little backstory, I don't think I've talked about this on a podcast before, but it's a good story.
Exclusive.
Yeah.
Getting real.
The real
right
tea
away.
Right now on the real pod. So basically I had met this girl at an event like a couple weeks before, and she was friends with a girl I knew. So I went up to say hi to the girl that I knew. She introduced me to her friend and she was another curvy influencer. So I was excited, adding to my pool of curvy friends that I have. We kind of all stick together, hype each other up, all that good stuff. And I left that event. She followed me on Instagram. I followed her back. And then we went to the Streamies and we were both announcing categories. And so I was so anxious that day. I don't even know if I told you this, but like I was contemplating faking COVID. Like I was like, I have so much anxiety. Like the thought of sitting in a room of people and a video of me playing and like maybe it'll be silent, maybe people will laugh. I was like, I can't do this. But I was like, I committed. I'm going. I'm doing it. So I like
the
had.
Contemplating fake COVID is so real. I feel like people do that all the time now. When people say they have COVID, it's now it's like, or did you not want to come? But the thing about lying mm-hmm. about COVID is then you have to like really be out of things for 2 weeks.
100%. I was like, can I
wanna,
commit to this?
I want to miss this bad enough.
Yeah.
I will cancel the next 2 weeks of my life.
100%. And I couldn't. So I was like, I'm going. And like, I knew it was good character building, but I was like, I have to push through. I'm going to the event. So we sit down. We all had to post like a little promo thing. And so I am not on my phone. I was like, I'm not looking at my phone until after it, everything goes live. So it ends. I look at my phone. I have messages from friends, family, whatever. And this girl that is my new friend, right? So my bestie, I was so excited. I open the message and it's like a bunch of laughing faces being like, what, LOL? Why is she there? She has like no followers. And I am sitting there reading this. And first of all, I'm drunk. I'm tipsy. I was a little nervous. I was like, let me have all the wine that's at the table while we're presenting. And I'm literally looking at this and I'm like, is she talking about me? She's not talking about Ella. So what's going on? And so I messaged her and I was like, what? And she was like, oh my God, I did not mean to send that to you. I'm like, clearly you didn't mean to. So then it's settling in. I'm like, oh my God, she's talking about me. And she went to send it to someone else.
I can't believe that she kind of owned it. I feel like I would have maybe tried to see how can I make this seem like it is about anything else.
Anything else.
Or like, that's what a hater would say, but not true because you deserve it, queen.
I'd be like, sorry, my dog took my phone. Like, I would say anything. The fact that she owned it right away, I was like, okay, so this is really happening. And I wish that I was like a really strong person, but my feelings were so hurt. And I feel like it was really like my ego that was blown, because in my head, I just have to tell myself everyone loves me. Like, I'm like, I have no problems with everyone. Like, I'm nice to everybody. I would assume everyone feels the same about me, especially this girl that I've met one time. And it just really broke me down, because then I was like, oh my God, is this what everyone thinks about me?
Right.
When I do things, like, they're like, why is she there? What is she doing? She doesn't belong there. That imposter syndrome really, really crept in. And I just kind of broke down at the table, and I was so embarrassed because I never really cry. Also, I'm not crying right now. My eyes are just watering, just so you know. And I mean that when I say that. But I was just like, what? Is this what people think about me? And I really had to like practice mental strength. I gave myself a day to cry. I like got home to my roommate and walked through the door. I was like, it was not fun. This is what happened. Like, it made me so sad that someone that especially is in my community, mm-hmm. like I thought we really had each other's backs.
Right. Like if she has this opportunity, great. Like mm-hmm. more power to the community. I think also when we have our own imposter syndrome or our own anxiety of like, do people think I'm annoying? Are people sick of me? Are people this? And like, I experience those thoughts yes. all the time. And then you do see a negative comment of someone saying it. You're like, oh shit, that is confirming mm-hmm. my fear. And then even though it's one comment out of thousands that are positive, your ego and anxious side of your mind likes to take that and run with it and say, like, the world hates you.
100%. And I was spiraling, like majorly spiraling.
I felt so bad. Yeah. And then this is like, I think the second-ish time we were together. Uh-huh. And so then, yeah, of course we were like, that's girl's girl moment. Like, yeah.
I think I ran to the bathroom to get it together and yeah. Ella went over to you, which was so amazing. And then you came over to my table and gave me just like the best pep talk ever. And you have no idea how badly I needed that, because I've always looked up to you. Like, I love your content. I think you're so kind and so sweet. Like, I remember you came up to me after all of the club stuff at a Revolve event, and I obviously immediately recognized you, but I was just like, how kind of her to like go out of her way and make me feel good. And that was it was like my first Revolve event. I was so nervous, and for you to come and like give me, and it was after all that club stuff had happened. So I just felt like everybody was looking at me, and you made me feel so good. And you just consistently do that. And it's so nice to have a friend like that. And I feel like I could call you for advice or if I needed something, and you could obviously do the same for me.
Oh my God, that is so sweet. Thank you.
No, I really mean it too.
That means a lot to me. And I just feel like there's unnecessary tension and like clickiness, and it's just so silly. Like, people walk around like, you should know who I am, or
oh, yeah.
you should talk to me differently if you knew this. And I'm like, there's people who have like 30 million followers. I've never seen your face or heard your name once.
100%.
I don't expect anyone to ever know me. I think it's obnoxious when people don't introduce themselves and give their name. Like, I don't know who you are. Like, let's all just meet at a human level. Anyways, but I'm glad. That's sweet. So thank you. And I did not know how much we had in common.
I know, it's crazy. I was literally like, because I've followed you forever, so I was just thinking about it. Like, I know you played. Did you play at USC?
Yeah.
Okay, love. And I'm from LA, so USC's always been my team. My brother played football there for a little bit.
Oh,
so
cool.
Love USC. So I played volleyball my whole life too. I stopped right before I went to college because, you know, the mental toll of being an athlete. I just reposted that video that you did. It was so good of you speaking
about mental health versus mental toughness.
Oh my God, it just related so heavily to that. And obviously you were talking about sports, but I feel like it's applicable to so many different things. And then I've really loved your content about your eating disorder and talking about that, because I feel like we have a similar experience. And the way you speak about it is you're so good at not triggering people. I feel like in the like language that you use and the way you speak about it, and you just sound so educated, but also coming from like a place of love. So I really love the way you talk about that. And it's something that I've super related on. So I love it's just everything you do. And I just love your content with your husband, too. I think he's so funny. I'm
Alexa,
a fan.
You're so sweet.
No, this is me just hyping you up for an hour straight, which
thank you
love.
So much. That means so much to me. It's funny. I have the amount of like triggering stories I do have about my body image or past things that I don't share, because it's like, even if people are, you still want to like give people ideas or the things that I read in magazines that triggered me and I'll never forget. Like, why would I want to say that and then give someone the same like hyperfixation on like this certain part of, 100%. You know, the body or whatever.
If you're following me on social media, you know that Max and I recently moved into a new apartment and have been working really hard on decluttering and keeping our space looking really clean, beautiful, and aesthetically pleasing. It just makes me feel good, okay? And I feel like the kitchen can easily become an area that's tough to keep looking like my Pinterest board dreams because of the big, bulky kitchen appliances. That's why I was so excited to discover the Beast Mini Blender. Max is obsessed with the name. I mean, it's called the Beast Mini Blender. It has such a sleek and luxurious design that was created to be on display on the kitchen counter. The Beast Blenders are really cute. My favorite color is sand. It goes so well with the vibe of our apartment, and it's also in my color palette. I had to say it, sorry. But despite its small size, it is super powerful and has such a wide range of uses. It can make smoothies in seconds, dips, dressings, sorbets, cocktails, or mocktails. You can even use it to chop vegetables or grind coffee. Beast did an incredible job at making an affordable, luxurious appliance that doesn't compromise on quality. I also love that I can take my blended drinks on the go with the attachable straw cap and lid. Visit thebeast.com and use code REALPOD at checkout for 15% off your purchase. That's thebeast, thebeast.com. Use code REALPOD for 15% off. That's thebeast, thebeast.com. Use code REALPOD for 15% off. Enjoy. Something I've been talking about a lot recently is my love for Element. I'm sure we've all heard that the common advice is that 8 glasses of water a day is the best way to be hydrated. But did you know that drinking beyond thirst can actually be counterproductive? I never knew this. All my years as an athlete, I was always just like, more water is good. But when you drink too much plain water, it can dilute blood electrolyte levels and lead to headaches, low energy, cramps, and confusion. We all want to be properly hydrated. So what is the solution for that? Don't drink less water. Just drink water plus electrolytes. And this is where Element comes in. Element is a tasty electrolyte drink mix. Emphasis on the tasty. I'm obsessed with the flavor. Element is used by everyone from NBA, NFL, and NHL players, Olympic athletes, to your favorites, Vic and Max. And then I just love that I go to bed and I know the electrolytes are working and I'm going to wake up feeling amazing. Our favorite flavors are raspberry, citrus, and orange. Right now, Element is offering RealPod listeners a free sample pack with any purchase. This is a great way to try all 8 flavors or share Element with a friend or teammate. So visit drinkelement.com/realpod and you will receive a free sample pack with any purchase. This is a special deal only available through the RealPod link. It's drinkelement.com/realpod. That's drinkelement.com/realpod to receive a free sample pack with any purchase. Enjoy.
So did you also struggle with binge eating?
Yes, binge eating and purging. It was a really hard time in my life. I feel like my entire life I've been like fascinated by food. Like I love food. I've always been like, I always tell my mom, like, I remember the birthday party when I was a kid when I tried orange chicken for the first time. Changed my life. So good. And I've just always been someone, I love food. I've always loved cooking, all different things like that. And it's always been my comfort. Like I remember like, for like one of my birthdays, all I wanted was to eat out of like to go Chinese food boxes. Like I just thought that was so cool.
It's
like
the
I think
comfort of it.
The Cheetah Girls did it one time and I was like, I'm eating my Chinese food in my bed like the Cheetah Girls did, and that's what I'm doing. But it was like always my comfort and that's what I would resort to always. And it's so funny because always looking back when I was growing up, I thought I was so big, but I was not ever. And I remember like I felt like it my body was always like holding me back, or people would tell me my body was holding me back in volleyball and so many different things. Like I was always good, really good at volleyball, but I think I could have been great if I would have delved in even more to like my athletic side. But it was always like, I just didn't love it like that. You know, like I loved the community and the team of volleyball and all of those things. But I had two different experiences for volleyball. I had my club team, which was my happy place, and I loved it. I had the same club team for like 7 years. Then I had my school team, which was not nice. My high school bully was on my team, and she was horrible to me. And I literally would throw up before every single game, and I thought something was wrong with me. Like, I made my mom take me to the doctor 2 or 3 times just for them to be like, "You're nervous." And I was like, "I'm not nervous. Like, I'm not nervous." But it was anxiety the whole time. And it was just like, I remember part of the anxiety was having to be around this group of girls that wasn't nice. And the other part of the anxiety was like my whole school watching me in my volleyball clothes. Mm-hmm. I did not like that. I've just always had like a different body type. Like, I don't really like, I feel like a lot of people think Black women have big butts. I've never had a big butt. I've carried all my weight in my belly. So it was like a tight jersey with these tight spandex. And I just felt like my body was like on display for every single game. And it was distracting for me. If a boy that I liked was in the crowd, like, I was more worried about looking skinny on the court than playing, you know? And right. It was just infuriating. Like, I always had this thought, but at that point I wasn't really acting on these feelings I had about my body. I wasn't a huge, I would diet sometimes, do things like that, but nothing more than like nothing crazy. And then I went to college and I was in a really abusive relationship. It was the first relationship, only relationship I've ever been in. And it just plummeted my self-worth when we broke up. It wrecked me in every way.
Did you know it was abusive when you were in it?
No. And yes, no part of me knew it was because I didn't tell anybody. And that was me keeping it a secret. And because I knew if people knew, they would tell me to break up with him.
Like,
or
if
tell
they knew
me
what he was doing.
Yeah, for sure. And so I knew that that part of me was ashamed and I kept it a secret. But I also feel like our generation grew up on like Tumblr and really toxic relationships and movies and in books. And I kind of thought that was like real love, is like going back and forth and breaking up and lying to each other and finding this out. I just kind of thought it was like the drama of a relationship. And like, you always come up on top, but that was not the case. And I was very impressionable. Like, I was very innocent when I went to college. I didn't drink, never smoked. I had never had sex, never dated anything. And so when this guy started showing me attention, I really thought like, this might be the only man that shows me attention, so I better hold on to it while I have it. And once I got out of it, it really wrecked the things he would say about my body and everything. Like, he essentially told me when we broke up, like, "I only dated you because you're ugly and I like ugly girls." And I was like, whoa, wait. That just ruined me, because I thought you dated me because you thought I was beautiful. So it was just, he was horrible. Like, he knew how to tear people down. He was not a well person.
So it was like an emotional abuse, verbal, manipulative type
of
thing.
For sure. There was a little bit of physical sprinkled in there, but I would say the mental,
a little sprinkle
just to make it, you know, extra spicy. Oh, but the mental abuse is what wrecked me, like, for sure. And I still think about the things that he said to me and wonder if other people think that about me still to this day. And it's you don't even realize, you know, like, how much other people's words, especially how men's words, the weight it carries. Like, for me, what men say carries so much weight, and I hate that. And it's something I'm actively like really, really fighting against, because I feel like every bad thought I've ever had about myself is always rooted in misogyny.
Like,
always,
through
always,
the lens
always.
Of a man.
100%. Because I have never looked at a woman and not thought she's beautiful, ever in my life. You've never heard me call a girl ugly, critique a girl. There's nothing for me to say there. But I will always wonder what a guy thinks about me or how he views, you know. And it's just, I hate that about myself. And I feel like it's a really common thing for a lot of women, because that's society too. Like, you know, you don't want to be too much. You're not going to get a boyfriend, or you better dress cute. You never know who's going to be there. Like, there's always that in the back of your mind. So after I got out of that relationship, I really, like, I was down bad. I was like, the only person that ever thought I was attractive actually told me I'm not. And
but if I could interject, please. Not that I know him, but that sounds like something an insecure guy says to hurt you when he realizes he's already losing you, in 100%. The sense that you're checking out and you're. And so now he's the type of asshole that's like, how can I kick her when she's down and say this really cruel shit to like make her feel worse. Of course that's not true. Uh-huh. No one is intimate or like wants to be around someone they're not attracted to, like on whether it's a spiritual, emotional, physical level. Mm-hmm. So, you know, do you think like he could have been like just projecting to kick you when you're down because he felt insecure, he lost you?
Totally. He is my, have you been following Risa Tisa in her 50 part story?
Yeah, I've heard of this.
He is my Risa Tisa, or what? I don't forget.
Who did Lucian, I marry?
Is that the name? Yo, literally.
Who did I marry?
This man lied to me about everything. And when I tell you everything, I'm surprised his name was his name. He told me for the first like 5 months we were dating that he had like a terminally ill grandma that he was flying to see every month and would take care of her when she went to her chemo treatments. All of that was a lie. No grandma, no cancer, nothing. He was actually flying to see his ex-girlfriend at her college once a month. He lied to me about everything. So it really just like, it was like a mental fuck. Like everything I was like, I can't tell what's real. I don't know what's going on. When I found out he was cheating on me, this is how we like ultimately broke up. The messages and the things I was reading, it was just the craziest things. And I was watching him talk badly about me to the people he was cheating on me with. And like someone was literally like, don't you have a girlfriend that lives in California? And he was like, oh my God, no, she's cheated on me. She's disgusting. She's the worst. She's gained so much weight. She's this, she's like just disgusting, disgusting things about me. So in my mind, I'm like, he's telling the truth. Like everything he's saying, he's telling the truth. And that's why he cheated on me. And that's why he treated me badly. When now it's very clear, cut and dry, that he's a crazy person. Mm-hmm. And I know that he's a crazy person. Like he actually needs help. And I think he's getting help. I don't really know. But it just really, you can't really separate that for the first 2 years you're in the thick of it. And that's really what projected me into my eating disorder. So I went home. I feel like I found a lot of comfort in food after our breakup. And I gained a lot of weight. And I also started a new birth control, the arm bar, something like that in your arm. And it just, my body did not agree with it. So gained a lot of weight, no big deal or anything. But I go home for the summer and I started doing this diet. It was called the HCG diet. I don't know if you've heard of it. Mm-mm. It needs to be scorched off of the face of the earth. But essentially, it's like a list of certain foods you can have. You only eat 500 calories a day. And you take these drops under your tongue to make it so like your body eats the fat, not the muscle. That's what it says. I don't know what it was doing. You're starving yourself. That's what you're doing. So mm-hmm. I lost about 50 or 60 pounds, came back to school. I've never gotten compliments like I had before after I lost weight. It was craziness. Like frat boys coming up to me being like, you look really good, Alexa. Like just out everywhere. And it just kind of kept propelling me and propelling me and propelling me to keep wanting to lose weight. So I remember that summer I went home and I had an internship and it was a really unhealthy company to be at. Like, I just think back at the conversations, like everybody was in like weight loss competitions with each other. It was just like not cute what was going on. So I started doing this like weight loss competition with everybody. And I remember like one day I like binged and I ate so much food and I was like, oh my God, I'm literally going to lose the weigh in tomorrow and I'm going to all this stuff. And I was like, I wish I could just like start over. Mm-hmm. And so that's when the purging entered my life and ruined me, literally ruined me for like a year. I was at the lowest of lows. It affected every single part of my life, my friendships, my relationships with my family, my relationships with myself, my relationship with drinking. Because when you're not eating, you black out after one drink. And I remember it was my 21st birthday and my friend sat me down like, and they had like an intervention for me. And they were like, we know what you're doing. We know what's going on. You need help. Like, we booked you a therapy appointment today. If you want to go, you can go. If you don't want to go, you don't have to go. We'll drive you there. We'll wait for you. All of the things. Oh my like gosh. My friends are my sisters. These are my best friends to the day. Wow. The ones that were complimenting you. And I went and that was like the start of my recovery journey that's still ongoing. But yeah, I'm like really blessed that I have amazing, amazing friends in my life that, you know, no matter what they told me, they're like, you've made some mistakes, but we're not going anywhere and we never will. So whatever you need, the time you need to take, like we're here to support you and be there for you. So I'm really lucky that I've had that. And, you know, I think when I started, remember I was like 120 pounds, like you looked at me and I didn't look right. I did not look like a normal person. And now obviously I'm a curve model. So big difference in my body then and now. And this is the biggest size I've ever been, but I can say it's mentally the strongest I've ever, 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 ever been. And it just feels so good to like love myself in all of these different forms. And as my body's changed, allowing it to change, allowing myself to eat, allowing myself to feel how I need to feel on any given day, and like not harp on my body and how I look and how people perceive me and all of these things. And it's definitely been really hard, but, and there's days where I'm like, okay, I'm starting my fitness journey today. And then there's days where I'm like, if I start my fitness journey, I'm going to spiral again. Like it's a really hard battle.
Finding the balance of that is tough. Like I've gotten really back into working out a lot recently, and this is like months and months and months ago, but I remember thinking like, well, I just worked out, so I should have like a nutritious lunch. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, just kind of starting to have those thoughts a little bit more, and then being like, no. Like, we're not working out to adjust how we eat. We're working out because we love movement and we have this beautiful body that we should move, you know, while we have the opportunity. So I almost view it as like, your mind has these patterns it has. And so it's like the minute I open the door up of like consistent fitness, it's like the computer is like, okay, well, let's pull up this record from when we used to consistently work out in high school. And well, this is how we viewed food and we counted calories and we viewed how many calories we burned in the workout. And now I'm like, that's not what I'm going to do. I'm not going to click the button on the treadmill to see calories burned. Like I just care about distance ran, like, you know, so I sympathize with that a lot. And the purging thing is like, it's like sad for me because I then think about the few times I like tried that as well. And I had a fear of throwing up, fortunately, like even when I was a kid. But that desperation of like, I can't have this in my stomach, or I need to look this certain way. A lot of it's blurry, as I'm sure you relate to. Thinking back on like traumatizing moments. But one time I went to this invite in college, and I think I saw all the girls after I'd, you know, done my makeup and my hair and I gotten ready, and I saw all the girls and I thought, they all look so much better than me. And they're all so much skinnier than me. And you know, then getting to the venue where like people are partying and there's a DJ and we're dancing, and like going to the bathroom and trying to think like in this desperate moment, like if I do this, maybe I'm gonna look thinner in this moment. No, I'm not. That's not how it works. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The same way as if I, you know, eat however many calories in one day, I'm not gonna look different tomorrow. Like that's not how things 100%. Work, but that's what our mind tells us. And I remember feeling like I was like hovering over my body, like, what have you become?
For me, it was looking in the mirror after. I would literally be like, I hate me. Like, what is wrong with me? Why? Like, I was a psychology major. I'm very self-aware, sad. Like, it's hard when you're doing things to hurt yourself and you're fully aware of it. Like, I would fully look in the mirror after and I'd be like, this is life right now. But I can't stop because I'm going to gain weight. Like, what's going to happen, you know? Mm-hmm. And no, I completely relate to you. And it got to the point where, like, everyone knew what was going on. Like, I didn't even care anymore that people knew, because the validation I was getting, the male attention I was getting, the compliments from other women, all of these things, it outweighed, you know, this embarrassment of whatever. And I remember people would ask me, like, how'd you lose so much weight? I'd be like, I run a lot, like lying literally straight to people's faces. And it was just the mental toll of like having to sneak away and like handle this and all of this stuff. It just was exhausting and way too much. And adding that into a party drinking atmosphere of college was just the perfect storm. Like, it was horrible. Every time I would drink, I would black out, and then I would like confess everything that was going on. And then the next day I wouldn't want to talk about it. It was just like such an unhealthy cycle.
The drunk eating, like get drunk situation, I think is not discussed, and it's so common, especially with, I think, women in college. Mm-hmm. Like every night I went out in college, I felt like it was like, okay, I can just get drunk to then like, where are we drenching? Like, where are we going to eat? That I think a lot of women experience when you're like 18, 19 and like, you don't eat before you go out, and then you get really drunk, and then of course you're starving, and like your drunk mind is like gonna go get food, and then you wake up the next day like so mad at yourself and you're hungover, and then you're restricting, and it's this really unfortunate cycle that a lot of women experience. I remember feeling like I had to like hide that. Like, totally. I wouldn't want people to know that I was eating or like how much
I would like
I was
throw
eating.
My trash away once my roommates went to class. I'd be like, okay, so it didn't happen. My McDonald's is now in the trash.
We're going to take a quick break to talk about today's sponsor, Nike. Nike has previously sponsored some of my favorite fitness-inspired RealPod episodes on mindfulness, working out as a former athlete, and loving movement. Definitely check those episodes out. I really loved them. And today, I'm excited to talk about the Nike Indie Bra and the Nike Universa Leggings. The Indie Bra and Universa Leggings are perfect for any type of movement. And I truly mean any type of movement, like squats, running, yoga, hot girl walk, whatever your heart desires. I wore them the other day when Max and I walked to a cute little coffee shop. So it was casual. We're in the neighborhood. And then I kept them on and I threw on my Indie Bra for a workout class. The Universa Leggings can truly be worn all the time, no matter what type of physical activity you're up to. They're also like really soft and comfortable. It's due to the InfiniSmooth fabric they use. You can feel it from the first touch. And not only are the leggings amazing, but like I said, the Indie Bra, which by the way, now comes in low, medium, and high support, is so great. I always choose high support because when I'm working out, I want my girls frozen, okay? No moving at all. And the Indie Bra keeps everything secure. But the best part is that you can customize it to whatever type of support you need. Like I said, it comes in low, medium, and high support, which we love to see. Together, they make the perfect set. Go to Nike.com to shop the Universa Leggings and Indie Bra today. That's Nike.com. Nike.com to shop the Universa Leggings and Indie Bra. Enjoy. Today's episode is sponsored by AG1. I just love AG1. I cannot say enough. And you know what? Max and I, 2 years ago, gifted AG1 to our sister-in-law. And I also gave my dad AG1 and my older brother AG1 and Max's brother. So we've done a lot of AG1 gifting because we love it. And we know it's going to make such a big impact into everyone's morning and daily routines. So don't sleep on AG1 as a good gift, okay? Even for yourself. Now look, AG1 is my favorite because it's a foundational nutrition supplement that supports your body's universal needs like gut optimization, stress management, and immune support. And since 2010, okay, that's a long time, AG1 has led the future of foundational nutrition. They're continuously refining their formula to create a smarter, better way to elevate your baseline health. The key word, baseline health, doesn't matter what your exercise routine is, what your eating routine is, what you look like. AG1 is for everybody and it elevates your baseline health. It is that thing that I take in the morning. It is so, so good for me. It has so many important nutrients. AG1 is a supplement that I trust to provide my body with the support it needs. And that's why I've been a partner with AG1 for so long. If you want to try, it starts with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free 1 year supply of vitamin D3, K2, and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase. Just go to drinkag1.com/realpod. That's drinkag1.com/realpod. Check it out. What is so cool for me now to know you as the Alexa J I know now, I would not have known that you felt that way about yourself or your body or with food because of how much self-love you radiate today. So when you were finally recovering from your eating disorder, maybe I won't receive this validation. Maybe I will be treated a little bit differently. Mm-hmm. I don't know. How have you adjusted to that?
Yeah, it's honestly been a journey. I think especially because someone that's been every single size, the difference in treatment from other people or strangers is so real. It is so real. It's crazy. That's the only time that I'm really feeling down is when I have an interaction with a stranger and I feel like I was just like completely disregarded. But my friends that are a smaller size around me were welcomed or given a lot of attention. And it's just really obvious what's going on. And I feel like as a Black woman, I've experienced that before with race, like with in college, with white frat boys or things like that. And now, you know, experiencing it with my weight, it's kind of disturbing to know that there's not all good in the world, you know, but what really has gotten me through everything and has centered me and really just reminded me how important this track of self-love is just looking at my little sister and just thinking like I would never want her to talk about herself the way that I have talked about myself in the past. And my friends, same thing, just all the women in my life that I love. I just think it's absolutely ridiculous if my sister were to say any of the things that I think about myself, even when I was her size. Like, I would just never want her to look at herself that way. And so why am I doing that to myself constantly? And just, I think with my eating disorder, like, I was pushed to the brink of, like, we're not going to make it out of here. Like, we got to really get some help right now. And just the thought of feeling that low every single day, like, once you get out of that mindset and you see what life is like when you don't hate yourself 24 hours a day, it's such a good life. But I just refuse to go back there. Yeah. Like, I really have to practice mental toughness and, like, I'm going to choose this better life.
That's so, so real. On the eating disorder solo that I just released, I literally started to cry when I was talking about how terrifying it is to think, like, you could slip back into the mindset you were in because of how much I do love life when I have a healthy relationship with my body and food. And so I just really resonate with that because, like, when you're not thinking about what you can or can't eat 24/7, you have the space to think about so many other things.
Literally.
And when you're not hangry and cranky and rude to all the people you love in your life because you're secretly starving, you get to actually be present in those relationships. And, like, it's just really powerful what life is without it.
Yeah.
And it's equally sad to think about how much life an eating disorder takes from you.
That's the perfect way to say it. It really robbed me of years. And I feel like I learned so much and I'm so happy it happened when I was younger, but truly just so miserable every single day, the lowest of low points. And I am just so happy with my life now and my friends and the way I view myself. And I feel like I really, like, had to change my mind and decide that I was cool and that I was awesome. Because I feel like I've held myself back from so much in life because I did not think I was good enough. With boys, with work, with opportunities, so many different things, I thought people wouldn't want me there. I'm not good enough. And the second I changed my mind and I decided, no, I do belong there. I deserve these opportunities. I deserve to put myself out there for the possibility of these opportunities. My life completely flipped and changed. Like, 180, which is crazy. Like, if you told me 5 years ago, this would be my job. Like, it's wild to think about it. Truly, truly, truly is wild. Like, I'm really just a girl and I cannot believe that this is what I get to wake up and do every day. And it means so much to me when, you know, when people say, like, I would never be able to tell, like, that you've been through this, or, you know, you exude confidence and all of these things. And I feel like my confidence truly is the sense of self that I have. Like, I know that I'm a good friend. I know that I'm a good daughter. I know that I treat people well and with kindness. And I always try to lead with kindness. And that makes me sleep really, really good at night. And it makes me, and I really think that when someone has a beautiful soul, like, you can look at them and see that. And, you know, I might not be everybody's cup of tea look wise, but I know that when people leave a conversation with me, they're going to leave feeling better about themselves. And, like, that's all I could ask for. So for me, I'm like, I feel super confident in myself. Like, I love myself. There's some days for sure I wake up and I struggle with my outfit or what I'm going to wear, or not feeling super confident or feeling anxious about going to a workout class or putting on a bikini, anything like that. But I think it's sad to say, because I never want to diminish anyone's feelings, because I have felt those feelings of, like, outfit doesn't look good, I'm sobbing and I'm not going out tonight. But it's almost, thinking back about it, I'm like, that was so shallow of me before to think. Like, I was in pain and that's why I thought that. But now I'm like, who cares? Like, no one, if I walk in a room and someone is so upset by me seeing my love handles in an outfit, like, you can choke. Like, I don't care. Everything's going to continue on. Life is going to keep going. I'm going to be okay. You're going to be okay. But I just realized, like, when I go in a room, I'm not thinking about anybody else. I'm thinking about me, and same with everyone else. So I've just realized, like, I can't let my negative thoughts hold me back from life anymore. Like, I have to live my life. Mm-hmm. Like, the world keeps going. And so I can either keep going too, or I can sit back and miss out on life. So I'm not doing that anymore. I can't do it anymore.
I love that. You can either align or you can resist. And choosing to resist, you know, it just only adds suffering to your life.
100%.
You told me before we started that you are grieving currently. Mm-hmm. How are you feeling today?
You know, it's really been an interesting few months. Like, it's been really hard for me, honestly. I'll probably get emotional while we're talking, just because it just happens. But it was my grandpa, my papa, my mom's dad. He's, like, the greatest man that's ever lived. Like, I when I tell you the epitome of kindness, like I will model my life after him because of how kind he is to everyone. Like anyone that's come in contact with him, he's truly like the nicest person that's ever lived. And I appreciate you asking me because I literally love talking about him.
I want to hear all about Papa.
No, he's literally the best. And he's lived like the coolest life ever. So my brother's like a fantastic athlete. I think a lot of people assume when someone's super athletic, they get it from their father. But my brother and my dad have always been very vocal that my brother gets his athletic ability from my mom. And my mom gets it from my papa because he did everything. Like he went to Pepperdine. He played baseball and basketball there, which is just incredible. And he's like the most unbelievable golfer as well. And he played professional baseball. He was in the Navy. Like he's done literally everything you can think of. He's just like an incredible man. And he like transformed his house into like an oasis for children, like put a trampoline in the backyard, had like a mini putt-putt course for all of us, like just the best memories ever. And he's the first person I've ever lost, but literally I couldn't think of a worse person to lose. Like I think this would hurt more than anyone, but it's been like a journey going through it and like experiencing these emotions for the first time. He's had cancer for a while. So I knew he was sick and it just progressed like extremely fast. And I feel like we were all kind of like in denial a little bit about what was going on. But the time, I'm so lucky that I'm in California and they're in California. So I tried to, you know, go there every week and spend time with him. And, you know, I was there when he passed. I was holding his hand, which I'm just so glad that he was surrounded by love. And because I know that that's what he deserves. He deserves to be. It was all 12 of my cousins, me, my mom, his three daughters, and my grandma. And it's been really hard afterwards because it's like life just keeps going, you know, like that's what me and my mom were talking about. Like she was at the grocery store and they're like, oh, how are you today? And she just starts crying. I'm like, that's so me. But it's so hard because I feel like it's just changed my perspective on everything. Like when someone's having a bad day or someone, you know, isn't as kind when you meet them, you literally never know what someone's going through. This is like the funniest thing. It's so messed up. But my cousin plays football at UCLA. And they had the LA Bowl this year. So we all went to the game and we meet with the players. And afterwards we get in the elevator and there's like an elevator attendant. And this is like he had to play in the game, obviously. And we all went to support him. But it was like a few days after my grandpa passed and all of us are wrecked. And we all get in the elevator and I guess we were quiet. And the elevator attendant goes, "Who died?" And we're like, oh, like, it's just like, it actually made us laugh. Like, it actually, like, made us all laugh. Like, we were like, thank you. Like, that was the humor that I needed today. But it's like, actually, we're headed to a funeral tomorrow.
You're like, someone did.
Someone really did die. Like, but oh, it was just, you know, it's really changed my perspective on so much. But it's also hard because I feel like a lot of things don't matter to me anymore. Like, I
realize, like, life is not a permanent thing.
100%.
My Yaya is my closest grandparent. The other ones are no longer with us, but I was so young that I didn't have the relationship. But I think about this all the time. I can't imagine the day that my Yaya, like, is not here. Like, and you just can't call them. And then also, like you said, life goes on. And our society doesn't talk enough about loss.
Oh, they do. The things I've learned that, like, watching your parents grieve, having the support of them has been literally everything, but seeing my family hurt is so painful. But then also going into a room of people where everything's really great is really hard too. And you don't want to be the negative Nelly or the person that's like just going to like start randomly crying. And I feel like when you lose a grandparent, you know, since, you know, I'm lucky I spent so many years with him, like people don't register it as super painful, you know, because they're older and they lived a full life and all of these things. But it's like, A, he was taken way too soon. This was the healthiest man. He's never drank a drink in his life, never smoked a cigarette in his life. The healthiest man ever. He's already beat cancer once before. Like, we call him Superman because he's literally Superman. No time will ever be enough time, you know? And I think what was really hard for me was how frustrated I was with the world. I don't know if you're religious at all, but
I'm spiritual.
I'm spiritual as well. For me, it was like just looking at God or the universe and being like, how are you going to do this to the greatest man that's ever lived? Like someone that truly is the epitome of kindness. Why would you take him out in pain? Like, why would you do that? I just don't. It doesn't make sense to me. And, you know, trying to be at peace with that and just know that, like, you know, I'm someone that believes everything happens for a reason and all of these things, but like, this is something I can't find a reason for. So it's just really trying to battle with that. I've been having a lot of dreams about him too, which I'm really thankful that he is visiting me. I do like to think he's visiting me in my dreams, but it's nothing's more painful than waking up. Because in my dreams, he's here. Like, nothing, everything's good. And then I wake up and I'm like, literally, what the hell is going on? And like, what is my life? And nothing feels right. Nobody wants to talk about grieving, but it sucks. It's so hard. So it was really hard for me getting back in the groove of filming because I was like, oh, this all just seems so stupid right now.
Yeah, it's like that higher experience that then makes you look at the trivial things and the stresses of the world and being like, you know, nothing would be more important to me than being able to talk to him on the phone or go to lunch. There is also that guilt. I don't know. It sounds like you guys spent a lot of time together, but sometimes feeling like, am I calling Yaya enough? Am I doing enough? Like, but then also, you know, they want you to live your life and have your friends.
Yeah. And I definitely do have regrets. I think that's natural for everyone to have those feelings.
What is helping you like get through these weeks now for anyone listening who, you know, might be in a similar spot?
Yeah, I think every family dynamic is different. But I think for my family, I'm really loving that we're like still talking about him. And it's not like, oh, we're not going to talk about Papa because we're going to cry. Like, if we need to cry, we will sit there and have our normal conversation while tears are coming down our faces. And it's just been really nice because we're all feeling the same thing. And I'm going to keep feeling that. And like, sometimes when I'm with my friends or with other people, like, they just want to comfort you, right? When they see you're in pain. And, you know, it's not going away. No matter what comfort I get or whatever, it's not going away. But I felt like I was trying to hide how sad I was from my friends, like really trying to be strong. And I never feel better until I release it. So I just realized, like, I don't need to be strong. My best friend sat me down. She's like, stop it. Like,
and your
cry.
Friends love to be there for you. That's love. What I forget is your friends want to be there for you.
100%.
That's what they're there for. And that makes us happy when we get to be there for our friends.
Yeah.
Alexa, you're just the sweetest.
You're the sweetest. I'm sorry that I had to get so sad, but I really want to leave on the note of like, he was amazing. He made me a better person. Like, I feel like that's his legacy and his why is like, bringing kindness. Like, I'm going to try to be more like him every single day. So I feel like, I'm sorry I had to get so deep about it, but I think it's important to talk about too.
I love that you did. That's why we're here. And like you said, this is a helpful conversation for someone who might go through this in the future or be going through this now. I love that we got to spend more time together today.
Me too. I'm so glad. I'm literally honored to be here. So thank you.
Thank you for being so open with us. This will be the first of many fun collabs and time we can spend together.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Real Pod. If this hit home or helped you in some way, send it to a friend, a teammate, roomie, share the love, share the realness. New episodes of Real Pod come out every single Wednesday, so make sure you are subscribed to this podcast so you never miss an episode. To leave a rating or a review of the show, head to iTunes and let me know what you think. I love hearing from you. Not to mention, you can stay connected with Real Pod throughout the week, seeing behind the scenes info and sneak previews of upcoming guests by following the @RealPod account on Instagram. All information about today's show and guests will be linked in the description of this episode. Thanks again for listening. I love you guys so, so much. Let's go dominate the day. And as always, keep it real.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.